Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Bishnu Shom on the programme tonight. India firmly rejects Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's allegations at a deposition in Ottawa linking Indian agents to the murder of Hardeep Singh Nijjara, Sikh separatist in Canada. The External Affairs Ministry has labelled Trudeau's statements as having no evidence accusing him of damaging bilateral ties for political gain. India maintains that Canada has not provided concrete proof to back up its serious claims, thus escalating the diplomatic tension. Amidst this row, India has criticised Trudeau for his handling of the situation, suggesting that his actions are motivated by domestic politics rather than factual bias, straining the already tense ties between India and Canada. Next up on the programme, another 15 flights at least have received bomb threats today, throwing Indian civil aviation into an even greater crisis. There have been approximately 35 such threats over the last three odd days, with the government saying that pranksters are at work. Now, some media are reporting that VPN addresses have been traced back to London and to Germany. If that is the case, are these just ordinary pranksters? And at 9:30 p.m., dialogues with Sonia Singh, the Atmanirbharta in India model in defence manufacturing. What do some of the world's leading defence company CEOs have to say? That's coming up at 1:30 p.m. First, a quick look at the headlines that we are tracking. Two have been accused, linked to the Bahraich case, shootout in an encounter. The UP police claim the accused were planning to flee to Nepal. The opposition alleges that this encounter was orchestrated. The aviation minister breaks his silence on threat calls to airlines, says most of the culprits identified are minors and that there is no conspiracy angle which has emerged so far. A new low for the Indian cricket team in test cricket, well, almost. The host team, India, out for 46 runs. That's the lowest at home, the lowest by any team on Indian soil. Another one. But let's quickly move on now to our big story. And that story has to do with the situation in Canada and India, the relationship between the two countries in a terrible situation, with New Delhi making it clear once again that the allegations made by the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, this time at a deposition, are simply not accurate and that Canada has not provided evidence to India at all.
To continue to work behind the scenes to try and get India to cooperate with us. And at that point, it was primarily intelligence, not hard evidentiary proof.
As far as the allegations are concerned, PM Trudeau's own admission yesterday would indicate the value. As regards our stance on the allegations, we will naturally reject false imputations against our diplomats. There's a clear pattern to smear India for reasons best known to them.
India rebutting Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's admission that Canada has no hard evidential proof to support allegations linking Indian government agents to the killing of Khalistani terrorist Hardeep Singh Nijjar last year. India reiterated Canada shared no evidence in support of the case, even accusing Trudeau of damaging India-Canada ties. On the Lawrence Bishnoi link, India says Canada disregarded multiple extradition requests.
There are 26 extradition requests pending with the Canadian side. We have shared security-related information with the Canadian government regarding gang members, including those of Lawrence Bishnoi gang, and requested them to arrest them. So far, no action has been taken by the Canadian side on our request.
The Ministry of External Affairs says that from the very beginning, the Canadian approach has been to make vague accusations and put the burden of denial on India. Earlier, India decided to withdraw its High Commissioner in Canada, Sanjay Kumar Verma, after Ottawa linked him and other Indian diplomats to the Nijjar case. However, Canada alleges that it was they who asked the six diplomats, including the High Commissioner, to leave the country. Trudeau is seeking another term as Canada's Prime Minister, but has recently faced one political setback after another. He has repeatedly been seen standing shoulder to shoulder with extremists and separatists attending Khalistan rallies terming all this as free speech. He has also lost support of his key ally Jagmeet Singh, and on Tuesday, a Liberal MP publicly called for his resignation. There's a growing number of Liberal MPs that remain frustrated with Trudeau's leadership and lack of strategy in countering Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. Latest to join ranks among condemning Trudeau's stand on the Nidjard killing is MP Chandra Arya from Trudeau's own party.
We know that extremism and terrorism don't recognize and are not limited to national borders. On Canadian Khalistani violent extremism, as Canadians, we expect our federal government and its agencies to collaborate with other affected countries to protect our citizens. The persistence of Canadian Khalistani extremism is rooted in the political patronage these extremists enjoy.
Sikhs in Canada form the fourth largest ethnic group, and there is a notable faction that supports the Khalistani movement, making it politically significant for Trudeau to engage with this community. But it seems Trudeau's K-card isn't playing out to plan. Bureau reports for NDTV.
Well, joining us now, one of India's finest diplomats, Ambassador Gautam Bambawale, who's been tracking all of these developments very, very closely. Ambassador, do you believe that Canada has provided India with enough evidence to back their assertions that India was somehow responsible for the death of Nidjar?
Vishnu, I think the answer to your very valid question has been provided by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada himself, when very recently he said that the initial allegations last September made by him in the Parliament of Canada were without any evidence or any evidentiary proof which is required to prove these claims and allegations. So I think the answer lies there. Why he did it is a totally different question. But I think what is even more important for you and the viewers to understand is that it is India which has for many, many years, and definitely over the past few years, been asking Canada to clamp down on these gangsters, on these separatists who are targeting India from Canadian soil. And I think the Canadians have not been sensitive to India's concerns when they should have been more sensitive to our requests.
One of the points which came up at a press conference by the External Affairs Ministry today was this assertion by some in Canada that this Lawrence Bishnoi gang was somehow involved in acts of terrorism on Canadian soil. And the point that India has made is that, in fact, members of that same Lawrence Bishnoi gang are people in Canada who are roaming around freely, who we want back in our country, which sort of raises the larger point that we've got approximately 26 extradition requests, and the Canadians have not obliged. They've not accepted them.
Absolutely. I mean, we have been telling them and talking to them about various gangsters whom the Canadians have given visas to enter their own country and who are roaming freely on Canadian soil. They're making all kinds of allegations about Indian sovereignty, Indian territorial integrity. And I think they're making all kinds of claims in Canada in themselves. So I think it is in not only India's interest, but it is in Canada's interest too, to clamp down on these kind of terrorists and gangsters.
How does this contrast, Ambassador, with the way the US is looking at the situation? Because, they've issued a statement in the last 24 hours where they say that they're satisfied with the Indian response in dealing with similar but unrelated allegations.
Look, the way I look at it, Vishnu, is that the Canadians, particularly the Canadian Prime Minister, rushed to his own parliament to talk about this in an open manner and make it public. On the other hand, the Americans have taken to this issue and have handled this issue with much more gravitas, with much more maturity. And that is what you would expect from countries across the world. There is no way that we will not be able to sit across the table and discuss some of these issues with any other country. But in the case of Canada, by rushing to the public discourse and making everything public right at the start, I think Justin Trudeau has sort of closed the door on such kind of discussions between India and Canada. It is now what I like to describe as an open tutu meme between our two countries. And that is, for any diplomat, it's not a great situation to be in.
Ambassador, there was, I don't know if you can call it a silver lining, but mentioned by the External Affairs Ministry and by leaders in Canada also that the economic relationship between the two sides is important. There is investment by Canadian industry in India, in our markets, I believe. Then, of course, there is the largest cohort of Indian students who study, of international students in Canada who happen to be Indian. And, of course, the people-to-people relations, Indo-Canadians with family members back here. So there is that very strong basis of this relationship. Now, we can't do away with that. And I would suggest it's no one's contention that we should, right?
No, absolutely. There are many positives in the India-Canada relationship, Vishnu. But unfortunately, the situation with which the two governments find themselves in since September of last year, now for over a year, is that the two governments have absolutely no trust in each other. And that was one of the reasons cited by the government of India for pulling out not only our High Commissioner, but also a few other diplomats from Canada, that they did not believe that our diplomats stationed in Canada would get the adequate security and protection that are required for diplomats to be in. And I think that is what has been the casualty of this last one and a half years, that the trust between the two governments is completely eroded and is close to zero.
Isn't it also deeply problematic that Canada would call our High Commissioner a person, worth investigating, a person of interest, when in fact it's the same officer, a very senior diplomat, who they've engaged in talks for 1 year on this issue? All of a sudden, it becomes suspicious.
No, you're absolutely correct, Vishnu. This is a ridiculous claim by the Prime Minister of Canada. He's made this claim in public. The RCMP has made this claim in public also. But I think it is ridiculous. You know, the chief representative of the government of India in Canada cannot be complicit in any such events. And I think the Canadian government has, not only jumped the gun, but also made this ridiculous claim that the Indian ambassador, the Indian High Commissioner, is a person of interest. It's something completely unheard of in diplomacy. And I don't know in which direction the government of Canada wants to take this relationship. As I said, on the political trust side, it is very close to zero. There are many other positives which continue to remain in the relationship. But you have to be able to talk to each other, government to government, in order to build on those positives. And that is not going to happen either today or in the near future.
And a final question, how is this deeply tied essentially to the politics of Justin Trudeau himself? That's an allegation made by Delhi that there are Khalistani sympathizers in his cabinet and that he himself is a Khalistani sympathizer.
Don't want to comment too much on the diplomatic and I don't want to comment too much on the Canadian aspects of all this. I don't know what has pushed Prime Minister Trudeau to say all this in public, not just yesterday and day before yesterday, but for many months now. But there is very little doubt that he should have also factored in the impact of what he has been doing without providing any evidence at all. And that is, I'm quoting him himself. I'm quoting the Prime Minister of Canada, who said that he made these allegations without any evidentiary proof. And he should have factored in the impact it would have had on bilateral India-Canada relations. They have had a negative impact, and that is why we find ourselves in the situation we are in today.
What's the way out, Ambassador?
Look, there is a way out.
Is there?
The first thing we have to do is we have to be more mature about it, particularly on the Canadian side. We have to talk about this with each other between low levels of the government at first and then bring it up to a higher level. But it has to be done quietly behind closed doors. The way the US and India have handled a similar kind of situation is an example. But I don't know if the current government of Canada wants to do it in that way. That is what diplomacy is all about. That is the diplomatic way forward. But the Canadians seem to have shunned that in their relations with India, which is absolutely surprising and deeply disappointing. But there is a way forward, which is to build trust little by little and then get the relationship back onto the rails. Whether we can do it with this particular government of Canada, I am not 100% sure. But if there is a change in government, then we can start that process with any new government which follows from a general election in Canada.
All right, Ambassador Gautam Bambawale, thank you very much, sir, for being with us. We're going to move on now to another story of huge international concern, certainly of concern over here in India. There have been 15 more hoax calls on board Indian Airlines today, affecting Air India, Vistara, Indigo, and Air India itself. Air India Express, Vistara, and Indigo. This raises the total number of hoax calls to being in the range of approximately 36, 37 over the last 3-odd days. Now, the government, for their part, say that this has to do with pranksters, but the fact that VPN addresses are being tracked, according to some media reports in Germany and the United Kingdom, seems to indicate this could be far more serious than what some are suggesting. But for whatever it is, this is what the Minister of Civil Aviation had to say.
We are ensuring that these kind of fake bomb threats don't happen in the future, and any change in rules or change in legislation, we are thoroughly pursuing from our department also, so that it becomes a strict barrier for people who are trying to do these kind of prank things. We can't comment anything like a conspiracy. We are talking to everyone. We are talking to the airlines. We are talking to security agencies.
Sanjay Lazar has been tracking this with me for the last couple of days. He joins me now. Sanjay, does this appear to be pranksters at work?
Good evening, Vishnu. Thank you for having me. And, I'm just amazed that our minister continues to say these things, because it's pretty obvious that, you know, I've said this yesterday, I think, on your show and earlier. You know, it's civil aviation is not just about social media and appearing on TV. There's so much more serious stuff in this. And yes, we caught a juvenile who, had done 3 or 4 of these. But now we're talking numbers in the 28, 30, 35. It's not a joke. And I was quite certain that, you know, if not a conspiracy, there is a concerted effort to make us look like a banana nation. There is, you know, obviously people, you know, the internet is so sophisticated today. I can be sitting in Kalbadevi and shooting off threats from bouncing them off from Germany to Tokyo to Russia, coming back to, you know, the US or Canada, and then bringing them to India. So you need an agency that can track this. Now, when you look at the U.S. in comparison, post 9/11, Vishnu, mm-hmm. they amended their rules. Anything to do with an aircraft, cyber terrorism, or aviation threats, bombs at airports, or became a pure terrorism, and the FBI became a federal crime. The FBI took it over, and they had powers with Homeland Security and MISA to look into all these things. We don't have that. We need the Ministry of Home Affairs, the Department of IT, the Ministry of External Affairs, the MOCA, of course, Ministry of Civil Aviation, to have a concerted effort with a unified team. Because you've got multiplicity of agencies here, and we can't be, treating this so lightly. We're still talking about this is not a conspiracy or that is not. And then, as you rightly say, some people are talking about VPNs in UK, VPNs in Germany, and, I've heard South Africa. So there are a lot of international VPNs involved. Now you need an agency that can track this down. And then you need somebody who can penalize them. You can't have one Sahar police station, one Chennai airport police station, one Delhi airport. Let it go to the CBI or the NIA or somebody like that. Because you've got, you yourself have shown on your channel, I've seen, Singapore fighter jets going up.
There was a fighter jet today.
Today as well, yes.
On that flight into Heathrow.
Yeah, Heathrow. So we've seen that everywhere. And
airports around the world put our planes into isolation. You know, it's a huge problem for passengers. They don't get their luggage back on time.
And look at the fear psychosis. You know, it's being portrayed now that Indian aviation is unsafe for passengers. It's going to impact us greatly. And we need to, you know, sort this out.
All right, Sanjay, we leave it over there. Thank you very much for joining us. So a huge concern, you know, for the last couple of days. But Sanjay, let me just come back to you for a couple of other points. What do you believe is, you know, is the way ahead for our airlines? There's not very much that they can actually do at this stage. They can only engage the government to a point. The government isn't really sharing very much information with them. There is a financial loss that they're going through each and every flight that this takes place. What can our airlines do?
Well, Vishnu, you know, I only believe that, you know, I've said this and tweeted this earlier. I think, you know, airlines have to reinvent themselves a little bit and ensure pre-departure screening is, you know, almost at bomb threat levels. That's one of the things. Passengers have to be sensitized to the fact that this is now become almost a national calamity, because you're getting, you know, three, four every afternoon, every evening. So over the last 4 days, you've almost hit 40. And that's incredible. That's the other thing. I mean, here, there's a case here for the airlines to approach the government and say, you know, let's, you know, help me recover this money. And therefore, the government must have in place a procedure where it recovers it when they, as and when they catch these guys. These are a lot of things that we need to do. And other than that, I can't see the airlines being able to do too much, because, you know, the SOPs, international SOPs, say the moment the pilot in command gets the information, he must divert, land immediately, and then isolate and sanitize the aircraft and do a bomb check. So that's a thorough SOP. So that's all we can do.
And do you believe in a situation like this, there has to be a lot more by way of communication from the government? Because what we've seen today are some assertions that said that, look, you know, I mean, anybody who's found responsible for this will be put on the, you know, they will not be allowed to travel in the future on Indian aviation. In fact, we already have far more stringent regulation in place. They can be jailed for life. I mean, those laws already exist. So you don't need new laws which, in fact, water down some of the, you know, I mean, the punishment for, per se against potential offenders, right?
No, we already have very strong laws in place, and no-fly list is the smallest. I mean, I would say treat it as anti-terror action and jail them for the longest possible period. You know, and I'd say 5 years jail, you know, jail is minimum that I'd give somebody who does this deliberately. You do one of these cases and you're going to see everybody will stop. Everybody who's in India, if there is somebody playing mischief outside, then you can't help it. You already have 66F of the IT Act. We have Section 111 of the BNS. We have 354. We have enough of provisions under the existing laws to deal with all these. So we don't have to create a new law right away. What you need is a new SOP with a ministry that has the powers to execute. You see, the Civil Aviation Ministry can only file an FIR at worst, or the airlines can do that. But if you had the Ministry of Home Affairs, they could, you know, engage everybody else and make this work, I mean, instantly. So I think we need to get a little more serious, a lot more serious, rather,
yeah,
and you know, get this focused going. I also believe that the ministry must engage with the stakeholders, which are the airports, which are the airlines, at least for the next week or 2 weeks or two, you know, on a daily basis, literally.
No, absolutely.
Because communication is the key, whether from a government or the airlines.
We'll leave it over here, Sanjay, because at this stage, you know, both of us are searching for answers.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, if there are foreign agencies who are helping us in this, that would be welcome. If this threat is international, then the way it's being reported and the reality of the story is something which is very different. Thanks very much for being with us.